From Swarthmore College.
From Swarthmore College.
This is.
This is.
This is.
This is War News Radio.
This is Bobby Zip.
And I'm Megan Curry.
And we are students at Swarthmore College in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania. This is When Things Fall Apart, a series addressing the most recent round of education protests in South Africa. Throughout the series, you'll hear from four South Africans who attended the University of Cape Town speak about their experience. In the first episode, we traced the history of the educational inequity in South Africa and explored the origins of hashtag roads must fall and hashtag fees must fall. Those movements were focused on problems in higher education. In this episode, we'll investigate more of the systemic underpinnings of education inequity in the basic school system of South Africa.
President, we need minimum norms and standards for school infrastructure in our school. Please help us become the people we are meant to be.
You just listened to an excerpt from An Open Letter to Zuma, which was produced by South Africa-based NGO Equal Education. Equal Education aims to alleviate inequities in South African education through impact evaluation and activism. Through the open letter, you'll hear students describing the dismal conditions they faced at school in the absence of adequate standards and regulations. Like the tactics employed by Fees Must Fall and Roads Must Fall, activism focused on basic education also uses media to make an impact. A large portion of Equal Education strategy is to engage in the social media activism by producing videos, podcasts, and other media with information about the education activism. Tathuzo Dzomo is Deputy General Secretary at Equal Education and believes that this media activism is an important part of any movement.
Media activism is actually a global phenomenon at the current moment where organizations such as Witness have shown us that different people in different countries are starting to use their phones, to use their computers to communicate to the world of their realities. And we've also seen it with like students in South Africa where they're able to record specific moments without the involvement of Equal Education. And we've seen it also with our members where we've taught them that you can use a camera this way and that way. And we've seen them use their own cell phones to record the difficulties that they face within the schools.
Tathuzo graduated from the University of Cape Town in 2014 and has since been working with Equal Education to increase both standards and equality in South Africa's education system. He's explaining an Equal Education program called Amazi Wethu, which means Our Voices in Xhosa. Under the program, volunteers teach students in primary and secondary school how to create and publish their own documentaries about the lack of infrastructure they experience at school. The program's goal is to use social media to reach the ears of the government and create change.
Like participants in the Roads Must Fall and Fees Must Fall movements, activists working to improve educational standards have used media to amplify their voices. So let's back up. What is Equal Education and what are they trying to do? The movement was founded in 2008. Those involved work to bring basic education to a higher standard that all students nationwide enjoy. At present, educational equality still varies significantly between races and locations. The movement has five centers located in Western Cape, Gauteng, Eastern Cape, Limpopo, and KwaZulu-Natal. Equal Education is focused on the ground up, engaging with students and trying to improve educational standards from early development onwards. Differences in accessibility, such as those that occupy a central space in the Fees Must Fall movement, are not just a problem in South Africa's higher education system. Inequity begins for students in secondary school, primary school, even during early childhood development in many regions of the country. Tuthuzo explains their mission in terms of breaking away from historical handicaps.
We as Equal Education are trying to make sure that where your parents come from or the background that you come from should not determine the type of education that you receive. So the socioeconomic conditions should never influence what you end up being in the future. And that's the reality here in South Africa and many countries, and to a certain extent also in the US. If you actually come from a poor family, you are definitely going to, the chances of succeeding are limited. And that's why we're calling for a better education system so that that does not happen, because we are perpetuating what existed in the past, which was racialized then, but now we're perpetuating in a manner that's much more, you know, classist, but at the same time has an element of race into it.
The systemic challenges in education are traceable, and those roots undoubtedly lie in the former apartheid system. In 2016, Equal Ed reported that rural provinces such as the Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, and Limpopo are the most under-resourced in terms of materials and personnel, and have the poorest schools. For that reason, they've consistently recorded pass rates well below the national average. And this unequal allotment of education funds is a direct result of the apartheid-driven racial separation of the population. Equal Education supports their students through the primary and secondary levels with the goal of a transition to tertiary education. The recent movements in tertiary education have had an unavoidable trickle-down effect on basic education.
The only involvement that we've had with higher education was to support the students, and this is mainly because most of our members who are in high school, they end up going to these tertiary institutions, or they get restricted from entering the tertiary institutions because of the challenges that, you know, the Fees Must Fall students were actually raising. Some of them come back to Equal Education, not having finished, tertiary because they struggled financially to afford education. So that's why we felt as if we have a responsibility of supporting such a call.
In understanding the higher institutions and who has access to university education, it's important to understand the huge disparities in the standards of education across South Africa at the basic levels. The methods used to quantify annual income of families and individuals often don't take into account the cultural differences within the population. For example, university financial aid fails to account for family structure differences that exist between Black and White South Africa. Leila Khan, the law student at the University of Cape Town, whom we spoke to in the last episode of When Things Fall Apart, tells us more about this issue.
They only look at like your gross income without looking at what your expenses are. And so definitely Black middle class families are dealing with a lot more expenses than your average white family. All of these funding mechanisms and all of these things which would say, okay, you're rich, you can afford tertiary education, doesn't take that into account.
The conditions of basic education heavily determine how students perform. Ultimately, it affects which students are prepared to continue to higher education. Equal Education is a national movement that, much like the hashtag MustFall movements, avoids governmental backlash by maintaining a horizontal spread of power rather than identifying as a formal organization. Equal Education assembles teachers, parents, and local council members to discuss major issues such as infrastructure and resource shortages that prevent schools from meeting the minimum norms and standards. This is particularly important in the townships in South Africa, which were originally areas reserved for the non-white population during apartheid. These regions are all densely populated and are considerably under-resourced. For townships like Tembisa, this has remained a fact of life despite the end of apartheid. Across its 11 schools, Equal Education found that Tembisa had a student-to-bathroom ratio of 1 to 100. For comparison's sake, a Wits Justice report established that the toilet-to-inmate ratio at the Johannesburg Medium A prison was 1 to 65.
The goal of Equal Education is to prepare students for further education by giving those who have been historically marginalized the access to basic, adequate, and reasonable education. It also works to empower students and give them tools to project their own voices to those wielding power over educational structure. While the government has promised free basic education, many students involved in the hashtag Fees Must Fall movement believe that higher education should also be free. While the idea of completely free higher education is attractive, especially to those suffering under large debt burdens, many at Equal Education and in the Fees Must Fall movement consider this demand impractical. Tethuzo spoke to us about free higher education for all.
One of the points that we made, and we differed with some of the Fees Must Fall students, was that, you know, free education should not only be for everyone for now, but we think that free education should be for a few, those who cannot afford, you know, tertiary education. And we know that Fees Must Fall differed with that statement. They felt as if, like, everyone, even the children of the billionaires in South Africa, also deserve free education. And we felt as if at the current moment where we stand as a country, that's not realistic. Maybe in the future, we can afford free education to all.
The prospects for the change education activists are demanding took a turn for the worse earlier this month. On April 3rd, Al Jazeera reported that the Standard & Poor had lowered the sovereign credit rating of South Africa to BB+, a grade informally known as junk status. A downgrade to junk status reflects decreased confidence in the government of South Africa to pay back those government debts denominated in foreign currency. Today, approximately 15% of the nation's sovereign debt is denominated in currencies other than the rand. With the rating decrease, the nation can expect to face greater difficulty in obtaining loans on international credit markets. The massive government spending increases needed to meet the demands of protesters and activists appear increasingly unlikely.
The move by New York-based credit agency was after a massive cabinet reshuffling by President Zuma. Predicting continuing instability, the credit agency also delivered a negative outlook on the immediate future of the ANC's fiscal program. The rand plummeted to its lowest point of the year following the announcement, and the shock is sure to be felt across the entire country. Zuma's enemies are growing in number, and the opposition is threatening a no-confidence vote in parliament. Tethuzo expressed to us his concern about educational efforts in the current political climate.
I wouldn't actually call it an opportunity. It's actually quite a scary moment because we know that the people that are going to be mostly affected with everything that's happening, it's mostly the poor. The majority of our members will be affected by this. Even those who are in university protesting, the reality is that they realize that it's going to affect them directly. So we don't see any opportunity or anything like that. And we realize that it's only the ANC that can try and change the current situation. And with the statements they've released, those statements have worried us. That's why we've rallied our members to support some of the marches that have taken place that are asking the president to resign. Because they've actually downplayed what a junk status means. And they've misled our people, where they've said a junk status will only affect those who are part of the middle class, and that's a blatant lie.
Although these changes have pushed activism and education efforts in a different direction, it is unlikely that students will give up on the movement. Roads Must Fall and Fees Must Fall were game-changing in terms of the structure, methods, and resilience of protest. We return to Brian Kamanzi, a graduate of the University of Cape Town and a current journalist who we spoke to in the first episode of this series. As Brian explains, university protest has become more than a fight between students and those limiting their access and rights in university.
It's the university as a site of struggle, one of many. So it's, you know, whether it's the decolonizing project or the broader emancipatory project, the real question here is about resolving the conditions that at both interpersonal and structural that produce oppression. It's not about specifically what can we change or tinker with in our universities and leave the rest of our society untouched, you know, because while there are townships, there will never be a decolonized university.
As the region continues to destabilize, activists and government officials alike are apprehensive about the future of South Africa. No one knows if things will take a turn for the worse or a turn for the better. Thanks for joining us on this episode of When Things Fall Apart. This concludes our two-part series on the politics of education in South Africa. In the future, we hope to explore other situations around the world where growing instability impacts daily life.